from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Did any of you grow up with an older brother? Raise your hand if you did. I did. My brother, his name's Bobby. He's 10 years older than me. Did your older brother pick on you sometimes? Mine did. Did your older brother have nicknames for you like Wart Eye because either you did or you didn't have a wart on your eyelid? My wart. This thing was right here on my eyelid and it was huge. It was so big. He called me Trapezoid also, which is another nickname, which for some reason I hated more than Wart Eye. My brother turned out to be great. Kind of an idiot, but I love him. Another thing that he did when I was a little guy is that he would tell me that the TV shows I liked were for babies. I think he wanted to watch his shows, so he would. We only had one TV. But I liked Sesame Street. You know, you guys remember Sesame Street. And then there was Bozo's Circus. That might just be a Chicago thing. Or the Ray Rayner Show, another Chicago thing. But I especially liked Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I would sneak it because my brother would make fun of me. I would turn the volume down really low when Mr. Rogers came on, and I would sneak to watch it because I really liked that show. I'm wondering if any of you watched Mr. Rogers when you were a little kid. Just comment below. It'd be interesting to find out if you did watch it. If you've never seen his show, it was like 30 minutes long, and you could watch old episodes of it on YouTube or so. It was the late 1960s is when it started and stopped running in 2001. Now, it was a show that would explain emotion and feelings to little kids. And this guy, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, was a kind guy with a gentle way about him, and he was brilliant when it came to little kids. He was so different in the way that he acted. So when the movie about Mr. Rogers' life came out last year, I was really interested in it. The name of the movie is It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and it stars Tom Hanks, so that makes it great too, and he played Mr. Rogers. You should check it out if you haven't seen it yet. The movie is based on a true story about an angry, controversial investigative reporter named Lloyd Vogel. And this Lloyd Vogel was assigned to interview Fred Rogers. So like so many of us, Lloyd had significant relational challenges, and the movie's so cool the way it goes in and out of his story and Mr. Rogers' story. When he was younger, his mom got sick and passed away, and then during Lloyd's mom's sickness, his dad, Jerry, abandoned the family. He was chasing women and living a horribly abusive life. Well, then at his sister's wedding, unfortunately, Lloyd and his dad, Jerry, get into an ugly argument that quickly turns violent. I mean, it's horrible. And Lloyd understandably held a tremendous amount of resentment against his dad. Lloyd had a hard time forgiving. Maybe you can relate. What does it mean to forgive? It's a decision that we make to release a person from the feelings of anger that we have at them. It's not saying what they did was okay, because it wasn't. It's not forgive and forget, because we can't forget. But we can forgive. And forgiving is releasing a person from our feelings of anger and our desire to get revenge, you know? Friends, this is never easy. But Scripture is clear, cuts right to it. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every other form of malice, but instead be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. It's Ephesians chapter 4. And we know that forgiving is important, and we also know that sometimes the hardest people to forgive is someone that we love the most. Well, little did Lloyd know that an interview with Mr. Rogers would become the first step toward healing and forgiveness. Who knows? Today might be that first step for you.
Sorry, guy. Could be a minute.
Is this a make-a-wish thing?
How we doing, Margie?
He's ruining my life.
How long?
Half hour already, which puts us at 73 minutes behind. Yikes.
We gotta go in. Cover me.
You're on your own.
Color of sweater that I do. But I can't see colors very well. Isn't that funny? Look at that. Look at that.
I'm sorry. Son, he's talking to you.
Okay.
All right.
Now don't do that, sweetheart.
That sword looks awfully sharp. And heavy, too.
Not really.
No? Well, you must be very strong in order to hold it like that. And I bet you are very strong on the inside, too. Oh, I like that.
Terribly
you.
Sorry, Fred.
Yes.
We need to start.
Yes. Can I take your picture?
Yes.
Everybody, make sure you can see me now. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming down and visiting us in the neighborhood.
Folks, if you'll follow me.
Okay.
Thank
you.
How often does this happen?
Every day.
Okay, here we go. Everybody settle. Quiet, please. Roll sound.
Sound speeds.
Mark it. And action.
Do you know what this is? It's Lloyd. Lloyd.
Hold, please.
We can't fire him, can we?
Hello, Lloyd. Oh, it's nice to meet you. What? Are you all right?
Play at the plate.
Oh, mercy, that looks like it hurts.
Let's chat afterwards.
We need
Maybe
to keep
we
moving.
Could have Evan take a look at him.
No, I'm good.
No,
I'm good.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Yeah.
It's me too.
All right. It's wonderful to meet you. So glad you're here, Lloyd. I'm looking forward to talking with you. I truly am. After this, everyone, this is Lloyd Vogel. He is a wonderful writer.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay, resetting.
Step over here.
Roll sound.
Sound speeds.
And slate.
Mr. Rogers, both in the movie and in real life, had a deep and intimate faith in Christ. It's awesome to watch. Not only did this guy love kids, but he sincerely loved and cared about people. You can see it in the movie. So what started out as a professional relationship between Lloyd and Mr. Rogers quickly evolved to a genuine friendship.
So, you've covered some heavy stuff, especially for a show aimed at children.
I'm glad you had the chance to view the program.
Death, divorce, war, gets dark.
You know, Maggie Stewart showed me the most beautiful word in sign language. You know what that means? Needs friend. Isn't that perfect?
Who's Maggie Stewart?
Hey, Mr. Rogers.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be? Won't you please, won't you be my neighbor?
Come on, sit down. We cooked you some takeout.
They brought pizza.
Lloyd, this is Dorothy.
Hello.
Can't you just say hello? Where's your manners?
I'm sorry. I think we should go.
I had an idea, okay? Maybe we'd eat some food, we'd talk like people. I messed things up at the wedding. Of course, you know, you didn't help, but I get it. And you let me sit out there in my car on the street for two nights, like I'm homeless, like I'm some kind of a bum.
Jerry.
Well, you won't say a word.
You came here to introduce me to her.
Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Lloyd.
Okay. You did what you came here to do. Now I want you to leave.
Lloyd.
I may never come back here. So, please listen to me. Dorothy and I have been together and in love for 15 years.
He left as soon as Mom got sick. Did you know that? Couldn't even wait for her to die.
She really didn't want me there.
Because you were sleeping around while she was dying.
I know. I know it! Took me years to get myself together. Dorothy's why I'm standing here. She helped me grow the hell up.
You know what they tell you about people when they're dying? They tell you it's peaceful, that they just slip away. Mom screamed as she went. Did you know that? She screamed until she passed out. And then they came in and revived her, and she went right back to it. It was just me, Lorraine, and the nurses. Sign the paperwork, pack up the house, put her in the ground.
Jerry.
Come on, Lloyd.
Jerry. Jerry! Oh, Jerry! Oh, my God! I'll call 911. Lloyd, do something!
Just breathe. Look at me.
Hello?
I'm right.
Yes, okay. Half a man just collapsed.
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know.
Is he breathing?
Yeah.
He's breathing.
Yes.
He's breathing. He's giving me a heart attack. Lloyd, do something!
Cardiac MRI revealed stenosis.
If someone hurt you, it's natural to be angry. When you rehearse the anger, it's shocking how quickly we can slip into a toxic state of bitterness. Look again at what Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every other form of malice. Listen, if you've been hurt, or you've been wronged, you've been betrayed, you've been abused or abandoned, I don't want to minimize the pain that you have for a moment. I mean, we should stop and just acknowledge that the pain that you feel is real and it's agonizing. But it's not helpful, is it? It's not productive, this pain. It reminds me of a quote that says, unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a bitterness, in a prison of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. That's what bitterness does. It chains us to the past. It poisons our present, and it keeps us from what God has for us in the future. And God's word encourages us to get rid of all anger and bitterness and to forgive others, just as Christ has forgiven us. If you're holding on to a hurt, God is inviting you to let it go, to forgive as you have been forgiven. And if you find yourself resisting, I get it. I really do. I've done the same thing too many times to count. I encourage you to stay open, and you might perhaps start to see people in a way that you haven't before. In this next scene, it's genius. Mr. Rogers asks Lloyd to do an exercise. He says, I want you to think about all the different people who have impacted your life along the way. It's a 1 minute little exercise, and I want to invite you to consider doing the same. Take a minute. Think about all the people on your journey, the most loving people and even those who hurt you, who were bad to you, let you down. Think about all the people who helped shape you into being the person that you are today.
I've never met anyone like you in my entire life.
Broken people.
I don't think you were broken. I know you are a man of conviction. A person who knows the difference between what is wrong and what is right. Try to remember that your relationship with your father also helped to shape those parts. He helped you become what you are. Would you do something with me, Lloyd? It's an exercise I like to do sometimes. We'll just take a minute and think about all the people who loved us into being.
I can't do that.
They will come to you. Just 1 minute of silence. Thank you for doing that with me. I feel so much better.
Hopefully, you're starting to find hope. And perhaps you might be on the journey to feeling a little bit better as well. I know this has been a deep message. If you find yourself getting stuck, one of the best things that you can do is to pray. When you're stuck in bitterness, one of the best things you can do is to pray. And Jesus told us how to pray, and what he commanded isn't easy. It's not, I'll tell you now. But it's always effective. He said in Luke chapter 6 to bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. Oh, man. What I found about praying for those who've hurt me is that my prayer for others may or may not change them. I don't really know. But it always changes me. This next scene is really cool. It's wonderful. Lloyd's dad is he's on his deathbed, and Lloyd invites his friend Fred Rogers to meet his dad and his family.
You know, death is something many of us are uncomfortable speaking about. But to die is to be human. And anything human is mentionable. Anything mentionable is manageable. Anything mentionable is manageable.
You gotta send me a copy. Oh.
Joanne will love this when she sees it.
Be it so much cooler if he was in this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I should get going.
I'll walk you out. I got these.
Thank you.
Hey, what did you say to Jerry?
I asked him to pray for me. I figured anyone who is going through what he is going through must be awfully close to God.
Lloyd, Bill, read the article. And?
Let me take a moment and talk to you as one of your pastors, but also as a friend. I know some of you have been betrayed significantly. In fact, most of us have. Someone you trusted took advantage of you. Somebody that you loved lied. Someone that you gave your whole heart to cheated on you. For me, it's someone that I was super loyal to, and I just got sort of kicked to the curb. To make matters worse, the person who hurt you may not even be sorry. You know, for what it's worth, I'm sorry. And more importantly, God is sorry, and God hurts with you. Don't think that he doesn't. In his love for you, God has something so much better than bitterness. In fact, perhaps the greatest act of faith is to forgive someone who isn't sorry, to accept an apology that never comes. I like what David Willis said. He said, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, but instead it sets you free. And that's why I want us to revisit this verse one more time. Ephesians chapter 4 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every other form of malice. And then verse 32, but instead be kind, compassionate to one another. Let go of all that. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. If you're a prisoner to a hurt, to bitterness, to unforgiveness, or to some sort of anger, God has a better way. Remember, what does it mean to forgive? It's a decision that we make to release a person from the feelings of anger that we have at them. There's a quote that says, to be a Christian is to excuse the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. How do we forgive what feels inexcusable? Well, we forgive as Christ has forgiven us. There's one more clip that I'd like to show you. It's a good one. And then right after that, our key verses from Ephesians are going to come up on the screen one more time, and then we're done. Take that verse in one more time after you watch this last part of the movie. And if God is leading you to take action on this message, man, I encourage you. Do it.
I'm so glad I had a chance to tell you about my friend Lloyd and his family. I have a new picture of Lloyd with his family. Would you like to see it? There they are. That's a nice picture. It gives me a good feeling to see them all together like that. I hope you know that you made today a very special day by just your being you. There's no one in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you. And you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. See you next time.
And that's a cut.
Thank you.